Welcome to Scuderia F1, the podcast that's always up to speed with the latest Formula One news. Follow us on Twitter at Scuderia F1 Pod and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Daly and Kevin Laramie.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. My name is Mark Daly, and it is Sunday night, and that means if it's Sunday night, we have a race to talk about. Russian Grand Prix at the Sochi Autodrome went earlier today. Valtteri Bottas winning, as I predicted on Thursday on the regular show. But before you come to me for advice each and every week on who's going to win, let's just say that I rarely get these things right. But I don't know, maybe this time I was just a little bit lucky, but certainly did not see that race unfolding the way that it did. And well, certainly Lewis Hamilton didn't expect to get a 10-second time penalty for the infraction that he had for practicing starts in an unauthorized area of the track before the race got going. But before we get into that, I just want to just point something out. So I'm not really big into this sort of thing, but this one bears mentioning. Tonight's show is the 200th episode of Scuderia F1 since we began all the way back in 2016 for the very first race of the year in Australia. And we've been here for every race ever since, and during the off season as well. And it's still just as fun to do it today as it was all those years ago, and fully intend to keep going as long as it remains fun. And let's admit it, Formula One is fun, so I'm going to be here, unfortunately, for a while longer. Anyways, before we get into some of the news and some of the quotes from the race today, let's just run down the top 10 in this one. Valtteri Bottas winning it, Max Verstappen coming home in second, Lewis Hamilton recovering nicely to third after it was all said and done, Sergio Perez in the Racing Point fourth, Danny Ricciardo in the first of the Renaults in fifth, Charles Leclerc a P6 for the Ferrari, their best showing in a while, although P6 is obviously not where Ferrari wants to be. Then Esteban Ocon in the second, Renault in seventh, Danny Kvyat, the hometown boy, so to speak, well, the Russian driver at the Russian Grand Prix, coming home P8 just in front of his teammate, Pierre Gasly, and then Alex Albon coming in P10. And Alex suffering a five-grid penalty before the start of this one for a gearbox change. And those discussions are not going to dry up very soon. Those comparisons between Alex Albon and Pierre Gasly. Albon delivering again some very Gasly-esque performances, or well, Pierre Gasly circa 2019 anyways, and finishing behind his rival once again, and quite a ways down on his teammate Max Verstappen, obviously, who came home in second. Only two DNFs in this one. Nobody retired as the result of a mechanical failure. Both cars that crashed out were Carlos Sainz and Lance Stroll, who both had incidents on lap number one, and we're going to talk about that shortly. But yeah, interesting that all the other cars that finished managed to do so. And it really is amazing sometimes how we do see basically the entire field come home, barring accidents in this case, but no retirements as a result of reliability issues or mechanical issues. Just goes to show you the phenomenal and fantastic pieces of engineering these Formula One cars are. So we should also mention Valtteri Bottas, in addition to claiming 25 points for P1 for winning this afternoon, also took the single point for the fastest lap of the race. And Valtteri, he set, where is it in my notes here, he set a 137.030. So that's quite a bit off the lap record and the race record, which I think is about a 135. I think the overall track record, which Bottas holds, is like a 131 or something absolutely insane. Anyways, looking now at the Drivers' Championship, let's just go down the top five spots in that one. Lewis Hamilton still on top, obviously, 205 points. Bottas closing the gap slightly today, now 44 points between them, because Valtteri now sitting on 161 points for the season. Max Verstappen recovering a little bit, finally coming home and getting some points for the first time in a couple of races. Obviously, Max is going to want to forget those two very disappointing outings that we saw at Mugello and Monza a couple of weeks ago. Lando Norris still sitting fourth in the World Championship, albeit only a single point ahead of Alex Albon in the second Red Bull. Although Alex is only sitting a point ahead of Danny Ricciardo, who's starting to move up in the Drivers' Championship. Now, looking over the Constructors' side, again, this is purely formality because it's still Mercedes on top of 366 points. They're just miles ahead of Red Bull, the 192. McLaren today they didn't score any points, so 106 points is where they sit. Racing Point only 2 points behind them now with 104, and Renault, they've been greatly improved over the past couple of races, and Renault now sit on 99 points. So that battle in the midfield between McLaren, Racing Point, and Renault, that's probably, I think, going to go the rest of the season. I think that's going to be a fun battle to watch because all three of those cars seem to be very, very evenly matched, and they all seem to be pretty good cars, and they got some pretty good drivers in them, so it should be fun to watch over the coming weeks and months ahead as we ride out to the second half of the Formula One season, the 2020 World Championship. But the big story in this race was the story that happened right before the race even got underway, and that was Lewis Hamilton was awarded 2 5-second time penalties. It was crazy because he was found in violation of the rules and two separate incidents for practicing starts in the wrong place, and one of those was at the end of the pit lane, and well. Obviously, they found that there was an infringement. I don't know the exact technicalities where it comes down where you can and where you can't, but it was reviewed, and several laps into the race, the announcement did come down that he was being penalized 5 seconds for both of them. Now, the way that the rules work, that because Lewis had not taken a pit stop in the race so far, that he would he just couldn't have the 10 seconds tacked on to his time at the end of the race. So he had to come in, sit there idle for 10 seconds, which just seems like an eternity in Formula One. I mean, we're used to watching these cars roll into the pits, come to a full stop, and then barely 2 seconds or 3 seconds later, we're just used to them tearing off like a bat out of hell. And going back and rejoining the race. So to see a Formula One car sitting there for 10 seconds, I mean, it seems like a very, very long time. And it really did affect Lewis's chance to win that Grand Prix. Obviously, the next one that he's going to win is going to tie Michael Schumacher's record of 91 Grand Prix victories. And between the two of them, they have 181 race wins in Formula One. I mean, that it's just absolutely mind-boggling stuff, but you can understand why Lewis Hamilton would be frustrated, and he did have to say afterwards that he feels that the Formula One stewards are trying to stop him by giving him all these penalties, and I guess he's also referring to the penalty that he had at Monza a couple of weeks ago for entering the pit lane when the pit lane was closed was another example. Anyways, Lewis said, quote, I need to go back and see what the rules are or exactly what I did wrong. I'm pretty sure no one has got 2 5-second penalties or something so ridiculous before. I didn't put anyone in danger. I've done this at a million tracks over the years and never been questioned on it, but it is what it is, end quote. Anyways, I thought it was very interesting, especially during the race when, his race engineer, Peter Bonington, came over race radio, told him about it. I mean, you could tell that Lewis was really ticked off about the whole thing. I mean, on the flip side, I mean Lewis, I mean he can afford to drop points in the championship. I mean, we still have half a dozen races to go. I mean, Valtteri Bottas is his only real threat at the moment. I mean, I only say that he's a threat honestly is because he's got the same car as Lewis, and anybody that's driving in a Mercedes is going to have a chance to win a race every time they step into that car and get out onto the track. The difference is that Valtteri Bottas, if he's going to beat Lewis Hamilton, has to be as good as or better than Lewis Hamilton himself. So, I mean, that is a tall order to ask. And also, not only is he going to have to beat Lewis straight out, I mean, he's probably going to need a lot of help to do it as well, because this would be one example. But, I mean, still, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, Bottas did well to win the race and claim maximum points, not only just for the race victory, but also for the fastest lap. But he wasn't able to like open it up as much as he obviously probably would have wanted to, or close a gap, I should say, because Lewis coming in at P3, which was, you know, in all honesty, a pretty good recovery drive. Anyways, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But first of all, I want to talk to you guys about MyBookie, because winning season is back, and winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means insane props, epic bonuses, and the craziest cross-sport wagers. At MyBookie, winning season means watching live sports and betting on live sports all season long. The NFL is back, and that means action-packed Sundays and huge cash prizes. So get in on the action by using my promo code OVERTIME and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Bet with the best this NFL season for your chance to win big. So once again, use my promo code OVERTIME and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today, but only at MyBookie. And OVERTIME is going all in for our listeners in September. We're going to give away $500 cash to one lucky person who takes advantage of this offer. So when you make your first deposit, grab a screen grab of your MyBookie account and email it to overtime@advertisecast.com. That's overtime@advertisecast.com. $500 given away at the end of the month. So get in on it. All right. Well, welcome back to the show. So yeah, just talking a little bit more about Lewis Hamilton and the situation that he finds himself in now. This is the second incident where he's been penalized in three races that have obviously cost him the opportunity to win that race. I mean, Monza, there was a lot of mayhem going in there. I mean, what else are we going to see Pierre Gasly and Carlos Sainz fighting for a race victory in the latter half or the latter stages of a race? I mean, under normal circumstances at this point in Formula One, we're not going to see that very often. So that was a bit exceptional, but I can understand why Lewis would have been upset about that time, or you know, the penalty he was given at that race. But still, that was just a one-off, and maybe you just kind of blow that one off. But then you get this one that he gets in Russia on Sunday, you know, two separate incidents that he's penalized for, because it was a bit weird when it came up on the notification during the race broadcast. It was practice start violation one or whatever it was, in the practice violation two, and then 5-second time penalty for both of them. So I can understand Lewis's why he would all of a sudden be pretty upset about that, because especially if he says that this is a situation or something that he's done many times in the past without incidents, surely he's going to start questioning why that this time was worse than the rest. Now, I know you can pull out the tinfoil and get into all the different conspiracy theories and all that, but I don't know. I mean, I'm going to lean more on the side that that it's obviously unfortunate for Lewis Hamilton, but also I think that the stewards are just enforcing the rules in the way that they see that they have to do it, and they're just doing their jobs. And like I said just before the break there, as frustrating as it is for Lewis, at least he does have like this huge gap at the lead in the points at the top of the Drivers' Championship at the moment. And realistically, Bottas is the only guy that's going to catch him. And like I was saying as well, that at least from Lewis's point of view, that although he did well to get back on the podium, it wasn't as good as he was hoping. I mean, because I still find it difficult to like regularly think that anybody is going to beat Lewis Hamilton race in, race out. At this point, it's just not going to happen. I know I did call Bottas to win this race this week, but that was more from a historical point of view, that the Bottas has done very well at this track over the years. It just really seems to be one of these venues, one of these circuits that he really seems dialed into. It seems to suit his style. And obviously, he's got a great car in the Mercedes W11 that really suits him as well. So Lewis, he can afford to take some of these results here and there. I mean, it's funny too, because a couple of months ago, I mean, it was Bottas that was hemorrhaging points here and there through the bad start that he had in Hungary for one example, and you can see why that it's frustrating for both of them. But that's the point, I think, that that when it comes to looking at the overall season in Formula One, is that it's very much a marathon. It very much goes over the course of this year, obviously. 17 races rather than the 22 we are going to get. But it really is that long term, that marathon rather than the sprint that you need to focus on. Because regardless if you're Lewis Hamilton or not, whether you're the best driver in Formula One or not, things are going to happen beyond your control sometimes, and you just got to roll with it. And, you know, again, like I said, at least from Lewis's point of view, as frustrating as it's got to be at the moment, at least he does have that benefit of, a very large lead in the championship that he can fall back on. And when you look at now, I mean, we only have 6 races to go now. I mean, we get a couple of races before we go to the Nürburgring, then Portugal, then Imola, and then we really are into the stretch run after that. I mean, you know, Turkey, Sakhir, and then we rounded up at Abu Dhabi in the middle of December, and then that's it. It's all done and wrapped up, and the season is over. It's a wrap at that point. But, you know, at least from Lewis's point of view, that even though he's dropped some points in the past couple of races, the opportunities that Bottas has to close that gap. And, you know, for the record, I think honestly that battle is over now, unless Lewis for some reason doesn't finish a couple of races because his car gives up on him, that and he's not scoring any points, and Bottas is winning those races. That's realistically the only way that it's going to happen. And I mean, these Mercedes cars are so good and so reliable, is that you don't see these mechanical incidents happening to them all that very often. Anyways, let's talk a little bit more. I mean, there's plenty that was said about it. Toto Wolff found that the penalties that Lewis got in Russia was a little bit far-fetched, and then also the subsequently one of the things that has happened, the penalty points that he was awarded for the infringements were actually dropped, because if so, then he was only a couple of points off of getting a one race ban. He was at 10 points. And then, so that could have got a little bit. So anyways, that's been removed. And then, Bottas himself, he had a couple of interesting things to say, because on the starting lap, before we had the incident first with Carlos Sainz hitting the wall, and then the incident between Stroll and Leclerc that really kind of brought the proceedings to a grinding halt in the safety car. And Bottas was really pushing Lewis there at the start. He had a very good start, got off the line very well. But Bottas said that a massive bee, as in an insect, hit his helmet just going into turn two, which he thought distracted him enough to pull off an opening lap passing attempt on Lewis. He said that he went too deep into the corner, and that was because of the distraction of the bee hit his visor. And he said, quote, "I knew the start was going to be the first opportunity. Actually, it was a bit compromised because there was like a massive bee or something that hit my visor as I was braking. I couldn't really see where I should brake, so that's why I went too deep. But I knew it was going to be a long race after that, and with the medium tire, I had opportunities. But obviously, Lewis had penalties, so once I was in clean air, I felt I had the pace, was pretty awesome, and I could really control everything," end quote. Yeah, and I mean, from that point, that really was Valtteri's opportunity. It was his race to lose. I mean, all he really needed to do was make sure that he stayed in front of Lewis, obviously on the track, but just kept his nose clean, didn't risk anything, and he did a very good job. I mean, he managed the race well. He took care of his tires. He did everything right that he needed to do. And this is just, unfortunately, I think this is just going to be one of those kind of, when you go back and look at the synopsis, the roundup of the 2020 Formula One World Championship, I think this is just going to be one of those those situations, like, oh yeah, well, that's one of the races that that Bottas won this year, as runner up in the championship or wherever he finishes up, rather than being a real dead on heat between himself and Lewis Hamilton. And again, like I say, I mean, that's nothing against Bottas himself, but I just think that at this point, that Lewis is just too far ahead, and there's far too far too few races left for Bottas to really close that gap anytime soon. He had his opportunities earlier in the year, but just hasn't been able to do it. Anyways, Bottas said the second time he said to a quote, "To whom it may concern, bleep you." And he said the same thing after the season opener in Australia last year. And he said it was just an open kind of statement to people that he should give up. And well, that's kind of interesting. I'm going to talk a little bit about it in a moment here. But first of all, just got to take a break here on the Overtime Media Network. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. All right. Well, welcome back to the show. We're talking Formula One. We're talking Russian Grand Prix. We're talking about Valtteri Bottas dropping F-bombs on race radio in the post-race. We're not actually saying F-bombs. This show is rated E for everyone, but you get my point. Anyways, he was asked to clarify the meaning of his statement in the post-race press conference, and he said that it wasn't a criticism of the results that he's had against his teammate or just his results in general this year. And he had to say, quote, "Honestly, I just don't get people who has the need to criticize people. There's been people telling me that I should not bother, I should give up, but how I am, I will never do that. So I just wanted, again, to send my best wishes to them. It just came out. But the main thing is I'm confident when I come to every race weekend, and I believe I can do it. And that's how I'm always going to be. You have to be in that mindset. Even though I'm glad yesterday was tough, I didn't give up. I looked at the positives, and I knew there would be opportunities, and things came to me today. So, yeah, I hope I can encourage people not to give up, because that's the biggest mistake you can do in your life," end quote. And let's be fair. I think I'm being fairly logical in my deduction and reasoning that I'm not telling Bottas to give up. I'm just thinking that, or what I'm saying on this show at any rate, is that it is going to be extremely difficult for Valtteri Bottas to be Lewis Hamilton. Like I was saying earlier, he has to be as good as or better than Hamilton, which is a huge, massive thing to do. But then also he's going to need help in the form of luck that he had today when his teammate gets a time penalty. Unfortunately, he wasn't in the same position to take advantage of that at Monza a couple of weeks ago. But again, that's just motor racing. And, you know, obviously, some people are thinking he's just wasting his time, and I think you could probably think or come to some conclusions as to which driver they more support. And like I keep saying on the show regularly, I think that Bottas is that ideal guy for Mercedes. I mean, he's there, he's getting them a lot of points. So from that point of view, he's valuable to the team. He's contributing, but from his own personal ambitions, it must be difficult and frustrating for him at times, knowing that even though he has the same equipment as Lewis Hamilton, it doesn't always come together. And I mean, those couple of bad starts that he had, like Hungary, for example, that was kind of a little bit self-inflicted. So it hasn't been super easy for him all the time, but certainly, you know, I still think that over the course of a season that he's good to get a couple to several wins. But I think until the day that things really change otherwise, it's obviously Lewis's team. Lewis is the best guy in the best car in Formula One. And he's just going to have those cracks to win the world championship, first of all. And that doesn't mean that anybody that isn't Lewis Hamilton should give up all hopes. You know, certainly not. Certainly I think there is a little bit of maybe frustration from Bottas creeping into his mind. Anyways, Max Verstappen, best of the rest in P2. So he said that the result that he had and the performance he had was how it should be for them at Red Bull every week. And that was the first, you know, because this is the first time that he scored points in a couple of races. And he said afterwards, quotes, "That's how it should be every single weekend. Of course, it was not good the last two weekends. And I think now to be back on the podium in second, I think for us is a great result on a track where we're normally not that competitive, and we never scored a podium before as well. So I'm very happy with that," end quote. So yeah, you know, that I think that was a great result for Max, you know, based on a couple of reasons. One, they've never had, a podium there before. They're typically, like Max says, not overly competitive on this track. But again, and then thirdly, of course, is the fact that Max himself scored points in a couple of races, which, after frustrating issues he had with his engine at Monza and Mugello a couple of weeks ago, you can see why the frustration would start to to weigh on Max's mind. And there's nothing that winning doesn't cure, or in this case, P2 doesn't cure. And Max, again, you know, great result for him. But still, I think he was, what, 7.7 seconds off Valtteri Bottas, who ultimately won this race. And again, Max, good result for him, but just at arm's reach, you know, arm's length. He's close, but not quite close enough to really be up there and to really be challenging Bottas or Hamilton or whoever. But, you know, it is what it is. And until they're able to take that leap, or Mercedes start to go off the boil and aren't as, speeding as good as they are, which, never seems is going to happen, but who knows, maybe one of these days it will. A good result for Max, nonetheless. Carlos Sainz, McLaren driver, believes that turn two should not exist, and that was after he had a huge shunt on the opening lap after he had to run wide in turn two. But the angle that he came across the track there into the runoff area was just way too flat, and the way that those bollards were put up was he really had to, well, I mean, even you hit it nice and square and head on, where you're more or less at right angles to it's a very narrow thing, but to come across it that runoff area on an angle, he really was trying to thread the needle, and he really did not make that work, hitting the concrete barrier and then just messing up his car, and then debris everywhere, and then almost simultaneously you have Lance Stroll and Charles Leclerc coming to together just a couple of corners later, and there was just all that pandemonium going on. So he did, well, I love the report that I saw in the race saying that Sainz had clipped the wall. I mean, there's no way you could describe that hit as anything like a little clip. You know, when I hear the word clip or clipped, seems to me something that, is like, it was just a really minor thing. But I mean, he hit it pretty hard, and he deflected outwards. The left front wheel came off. The suspension was pretty badly damaged. So it was a fairly big hit. Anyways, Carlos had to say, quote, "Unfortunately, in turn two, I had someone come on the inside and I ran a bit wide. By the time I decided to go around the bollard, I went around the bollard with a very, very narrow angle, and I just misjudged my entry speed around the bollard and hit the wall pretty heavily. Misjudgment by my side, a mistake. I think that corner shouldn't exist. It is not a very nice corner to drive around, and it generates these kinds of situations, but I just misjudged it. It is not a corner that is well designed. You saw today in the race how many people are missing that apex and having to go around the bollards, destroying the bollards. It is clearly not a great corner," end quote. So yeah, obviously frustration there, but that, like I say, I mean, that was a really difficult angle to try and get through there, and it really was trying to thread the needle at 150 miles an hour, whatever he was doing at that point. Anyways, Lance Stroll, the Racing Point driver, thinks it's, in his words, ridiculous that Charles Leclerc was not penalized for the incident on the opening lap that put Lance into the wall and ultimately ended his race. The incident was noted by the stewards, but they decided not to take any action after that. Leclerc went on to finish sixth in the race, and then, obviously Lance with a DNF on the first lap didn't score any points, which would be frustrating because, Racing Point, Force India, Racing Point have a very good car now in the RP20 and are pretty much a lock to score points each and every weekend, and obviously also have an outside shot at a podium, and you can see why. I mean, unfortunately, the two camera angles we had was Charles's in-car camera, which really didn't show the whole story, I felt, and then the camera from the track itself was a head-on look from the next corner, looking back towards turn two, and you didn't really see too much. It didn't really seem very conclusive. Anyways, Lance said, quote, "I'm quite surprised he didn't get a penalty. I gave him plenty of room. I did the whole corner on the outside, and he just tagged my right rear. I gave him all the room I could, and it was unlucky, but he could have avoided it, and he didn't have to run so wide into me. It's kind of ridiculous he didn't get a penalty," end quote. So obviously, more frustration around in the F1 paddock today. Lance not happy with Charles Leclerc, or the fact that he got off with that move scot-free. Anyways, Leclerc himself says that Ferrari finally taken some concrete and positive step forwards after the best result that that they had in five races. But you look where Sebastian Vettel was all the way back, much further down. Anyways, Charles had to say about himself, quote, "Very happy about today. Again, from the beginning of the season, it's difficult to be happy with P6, but the way it is, we are maximized what we had today. Yesterday, I was frustrated about quali, but at the end, I didn't think we could have done better, even with a better quali. So happy with the weekend. Now we need to understand what we did different to be so much better in the race than Mugello, for example, but is a good step forward," end quote. So yeah, I mean, whoever thought that P6 would be what Ferrari would consider a good result, but certainly under the circumstances of the season that they found themselves in, it's completely logical and understandable that they see it as a positive thing. Now, Danny Ricciardo, just a couple more things before we wrap it up here. He says that the 5-second time penalty he had for exceeding track limits at turn two, and that engineered swap around that they had with his teammate Esteban Ocon, who kind of left it a little bit late at the end of the straight there, but of course, he doesn't have to compromise his race 100%. When given team orders to let his faster teammate through, he could have backed off a little bit sooner, of course. But again, Danny Ricciardo pushing a little bit hard to get around his teammate. Anyways, Danny Rick said that the time penalty, quote, "lit a fire under my bum," end quote. And he was quite motivated to keep going. Anyways, Ricciardo said, quote, "I would say the outcome was a good one, but there were certainly some speed bumps along the way." Literally. "So I earned myself a 5-second penalty by going wide at turn two, and then I had to make up that time. But we did in the end. I think we are fifth best today, and we got it. I made a little extra work for myself, but it was okay. The start was great again. Off the line, the car's been a rocket the last few starts. So lots of positives. Some imperfections at times for me, but I think I cleaned myself up okay," end quote. He also went on to take full responsibility for exceeding the track limits there. Didn't lay anything at the feet of his teammate Esteban Ocon. Just said he locked up the tires and went wide, and then he even thought himself at the moment that it happened that he was probably going to get penalized for it. So when his engineer came over the radio, Ricciardo said that he'd already accepted the fact that he was going to be penalized for it. And then I love his response that on race radio was basically to the effect of, well, I've got this 5-second penalty and deficit to make up for at some point, so I'm just going to drive faster. And drive faster he did indeed, but it was not enough to get him on the podium, and definitely not enough for him to win that bet, the tattoo bet that he has going with his team principal, Cyril Abiteboul. But very good to see that that Renault, who I've been critical about over the years, finally showing some more pace and some raciness, and good to see them more competitive. And hopefully it's the first of many. But it's kind of funny what with Ricciardo leaving there at the end of the year to go to McLaren, that who knows what kind of team that Fernando Alonso is going to walk into next year and what he can do. So that should be another one that's fun to watch. Anyways, time to wrap it up. Thank you so very much for downloading and listening to episode 200 of Scuderia F1. If you want to get in touch, by all means do so. You can email me at scuderiaf1pod@gmail.com or tweet me on the Twitters at scuderiaf1pod. And that's it. That's a wrap. Have a great week and a great Monday. And I'll be back in a couple of days with all the latest Formula One news. And until then, take care of yourselves and bye for now. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Scuderia F1 podcast. If you want to get the show notes for this episode, then head over to scuderiaf1pod.com. Want to get in touch with us? Then email us at scuderiaf1pod@gmail.com.